Good morning. So last time, we continued talking about virtual memory. One thing we had to talk about was counting the size of what we called address spaces. It was a definitional issue. So we had these translation from virtual addresses to physical addresses, and often we say we have a certain size of the address space, which is basically the number of either virtual or physical addresses that are in existence. And this is not the same thing as what you might intuitively think it is in two different ways. So one way is with virtual addresses, we have pointers. And it would seem, oh, each pointer is going to give us a different byte, potentially. But on many systems, that's not actually the case. So for example, on 64-bit x86, often some of the upper bits of the pointer aren't actually used to determine what physical address to access. And in that case, we say the virtual address space size doesn't account for those bits. And even though we're measuring the address space size as sort of a number of bytes, the number of bytes is going to be based on the number of unique addresses we can make. Another thing is that when we talk about sort of physical address space size, you would think, oh, so it's the number of bytes of memory I have. It's not. So after we do the translation, we're going to get a physical address that the hardware is going to use, but we might not have storage installed for all of those bytes that we could potentially make. But we'll still say our physical address space size accounts for all the bits that we can produce from that translation, even though it might be the case that we have far less storage than that. In fact, often will be that case. So then we talked about some things with our page tables. So one thing we mentioned is that if we're doing this mapping anyways, we don't have to limit ourselves to looking up the physical page or not finding it. We can do things that are going to help our operating system restrict access to specific parts of memory. So one example of that is that when we're doing that lookup, in addition to checking if we find something, we can also check if we're in kernel mode or not and compare that to something in our page table entry. We do the same thing to say if we're writing and compare that to something in our page table entry. And using this mechanism, the processor can enforce restrictions on how memory is used. And it's kind of free because we have to do this lookup anyways. Then we talked about storing our page tables somewhere. We mentioned that for realistic sizes, our page tables sort of at a minimum are going to be megabytes of page table entries. And we can't fit that on the processor, or at least if we could, that calls into question of like why we said we would have trouble like having a cache that's kilobytes be really fast. So what we'll do instead is we'll store the actual page tables in memory. So we'll have each page table entry represented as an integer, and we'll just have an array of integers in memory. And the processor, rather than getting like the entire array, it's just going to get a pointer to the beginning of the array. When we switch from one program to another, we just change that pointer. And we looked at some examples of that last time. We're going to look over some other examples of what that lookup looks like. And then we're going to get to a problem, which is that it turns out that even with this idea of storing it in memory, we still probably don't have enough space for it. So we're going to have some slightly more flexible scheme to support our page tables for realistic machines, especially like 64-bit address machines. So before I move on to that, questions about things we covered last time? Yes?
So for virtual address spaces, if the whole pointer isn't used, what are the top bits used for?
The question, for virtual address spaces, if the whole pointer is used, what are the top bits used for? So on 64-bit x86, the rule is that the top bits of the pointer need to be all zeros or all ones. And I guess there's two reasons for this. So one is that they want the pointer size to be a power of 2 because it doesn't make much sense to have machines with 48-bit registers. Another reason is that they want to have the potential in the future to make the virtual address space size bigger without changing user programs. And the idea is that they could do that, and what would happen is that they would just make the page tables support more bits, and we'd give out pointers that didn't have all zeros and all ones at the top, so many bits. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay. So last time we looked at this example, when we finished up, of a page table lookup. And in this example, we had 8-byte pages, so that meant we have 2 to the 3-byte pages, which implies we have 3 page offset bits. And this means our virtual addresses, or our physical addresses, well, they're going to be split up into a page offset and a page number, and the page offset part is 3 bits, and we have 6 bits in total, so the page number part must be 3 bits. So then we said, okay, I had to look up this virtual address 3-1, so I wrote it out as binary so I could easily extract the page offset and page number, the virtual page number in this case, and I wanted to look that up in our page table. And we were told our page table here starts at address 20, so this is the beginning of our page table is here, and we have 3 bits of page table page numbers and 1-byte page table entries, so our page table is 8 bytes. So this whole thing here, this is our page table. And our virtual page number was 110, or 6. Our page table entries were 1 byte. So the address of the page table entry we cared about was 26, which gives us this F6 values in our table. Another way we could have figured that out is we could say, oh, each entry is 1 byte, so here's the first entry with index 0, here's the second entry with index 1, here's the third entry with index 2, and so on, until we counted up to 6. So we got this entry, F6, and I decoded that into binary and compared it to our table here. Found out, oh, okay, we have this 3-bit physical page number, that's going to be this part here, and we have a valid bit, it's going to be this part here. Physical page number is all 1s, valid bit is 1, valid bit's 1, so we can keep going. If it was 0, we'd have to stop and say, nope, not valid, ask the OS what to do. But it's 1, so we take our physical page number, and we combine that with the original page offset to get our final address, which is 39. We look that up in this table here, and we get this OXC. That's the result of our look. So questions on this process? Okay, so let's do a different example. you'd like some more time? Okay, so the first step I take is I take our virtual address, 1.2, and I figure out what its page number part and its page offset part are. And in this case, because we have nice small addresses, I just convert the whole thing to binary, and our page number is 3 bits, which we determine because we have 6-bit addresses, and 3 of the bits are page offset, so the rest must be page number. So our page number is 010, also known as 2. And to figure out where our page table entry is, I'm going to take our page table base address, which is the beginning of our array of page table entries, and I'm going to add our index, which is the page number, times the size of each element in our array of page table entries, which is 1, to get address 0x22. So that is where our first level, our page table entry is. In this case, it's just 1. So it's this D2 right here. So I take that, and we're going to take our, I'll just highlight this in. So, and I can decode that and get that it's 11010. And this is what I'm going to want to use to decode my page table entry here. So we know from the description that the first parts are physical page number, next parts are valid bit, and next rest is unused. So our valid bit's 1, so we can keep going. And we take our physical page number, and we're going to combine that physical page number with the page offset we had in the original address. So here's our page offset, 0, and that is our final address. I convert that back to, hexadecimal, I get 0x32, look that up in our table, and that is right there, that OXBA is what we're going to be accessing. So questions? Process, yes. Accessing which physical address? Which physical address?
Like, why is where you check the first entry and you use that to get
the second entry? Why do I check the first entry? Which is the first entry?
Like,
why do I use D2 to access BA? This is our page table here, which starts at this address, stored in memory. And presumably, the operating system would have set this up to tell us what the current program can access. And so I'm reading a page table entry, and that determines like where the program's address actually maps to in the real memory. In this case, it happens to map to this address right here, this value right here, which has address 32 in physical addresses. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Comments? Seem a bit confused, so assuming there'll be more. Okay, so this is our one level page table lookup, as it says in the slide. So we're going to have to make this a little more complicated to support real machines. But right now, we have a way where we use part of memory to indicate what a program can access. This is so because we don't have enough space in the processor to do that. And the OS can change what that mapping looks like by changing this page table base register rather than changing everything. But so this scheme won't scale to a more complete system. So let's talk about my desktop. My desktop has 64-bit addresses, but it turns out that for the virtual addresses, only 48 bits of those are used. So I have 48-bit virtual addresses in effect and 39-bit physical addresses. And I have 4,096-byte pages, not 8 bytes. 4,096-byte pages, that's 2 to the 12-byte pages. So a question here is, how many page table entries would we have if we were using the scheme we talked about there, where we had this big array, this array, in this case it would be a big array, of page table entries, and that's what we looked at. And also, how large are physical page numbers? And for both of these, the most helpful thing to note is that when we take an address, physical or virtual, it has a page offset part and a page number part. And we can divide up the address that way. Would like some more time. Okay, so can someone give me a first step for figuring out how many page table entries are? What's a good first thing to do for this problem? No volunteers. So if we're thinking of the page tables we've been seeing so far, our page table, we have sort of our valid bit, our physical page number, and some other data. And we have a page table entry which we look up using the virtual page number. So we have page 0 has an entry, page 1 has an entry, and so on, up to the maximum number of pages. So figuring out the number of page table entries is the same thing as figuring out the number of virtual pages. That's how we look up our page table entries. And to figure out the number of virtual pages, there's a couple ways we could do it. One way is we could say, well, the virtual page number pages have a number. And how big is that number? Well, we have 48-bit virtual addresses, so I can look at the diagram I drew here. And that can be split up into the page number and the page offset. The page offset, because it's 2 to the 12 byte pages, that's going to be 12 bits. So we have 36 bits left over. And that means that these virtual page numbers are going to range from 0 to 36 ones in binary. Or we're going to have 2 to the 36 of them, because that's the number of numbers, possible values we have for a 36-bit number. Another way we could have figured this out is we could have said there are 48-bit virtual addresses. So that means we have 2 to the 48 bytes divided by 2 to the 12 bytes a page, which is going to give us 2 to the 36 pages. And in the scheme we've seen so far, each of those virtual pages needs to have its own page table entry. Either way, we got 2 to the 36. So questions how I came up with that answer? Yes? Question, each page is a row in the page table? Not exactly. So a page is the region of memory. We have information about that region of memory in our page table, which is what we call each row a page table entry. So each page, I would say, has a row in the page table. But it is not actually that row, because, well, the page has 4 kilobytes of data, not just a page number and a valid bit and some other permission. That answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Okay. So how about how large physical page numbers are? Any ideas of how we can figure that out? Yeah. Okay. So you say we take the 39-bit physical address size, and we subtract the 12 offset bits, and we get 27 bits. And that is right. Way we can see how this works is if we draw out what our physical addresses look like, we can split the physical address into a page offset and a physical page number. And we can see that when we subtract the 12-bit offset, we're going to have 27 bits left over. So questions about figuring out the size of physical page numbers? Okay. So that does match the answers I got. And in fact, on my desktop, it turns out that page table entries are not like 28 bits, which is what you'd say if you said, oh, we have a physical page number and a valid bit. Well, they're not 28 bits because we need some extra information. So you might say, okay, so they're going to be like 32 bits or something, and in fact, they're 8 bytes, 64 bits. You might say, gosh, that seems like a lot, but what happened here is the processor said, it's really inconvenient to multiply by 6 or 7 or something like that. So the processor wanted to multiply by 8. So they chose to have the page table entries be 8 bytes. So we have this size to make the lookups faster. And if we do the math here, if we have 8 byte page table entries, so 2 to the 3 equals 8 byte page table entries times 2 to the 36 VEs, that gives us 2 to the 39 bytes, or half a terabyte. And my desktop's good. It doesn't have multiple terabytes of memory, so I can run multiple programs. So clearly, we're not storing page tables in this way, where we actually have an array with an entry for every single virtual page. So the question is, how can we do that? And we need some way of doing that, because we can't store a page table entry for all 2 to the 36 pages. So we need some way of saving space. But we still want to do the same translation, we still want to have the same page size. So what are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to make an observation about what program memory layouts look like. So here's my picture of program memory layout. We have like our data, our global variables, our heap, and our stack. And you may remember that, oh, we have this like big space between the heap and the stack. And also we have usually a Linux layout. We have some space above the stack between the stack and the OS's stuff. And we have some space below the code. And also this diagram is kind of deceptive because if you think of our stack is typically like maybe a few megabytes at most. And the total memory space here, like from top to bottom, is like many terabytes. So this diagram is actually showing the stack and the heap and our code much bigger than they actually are. So in fact, most of the space is what I have highlighted here is what we'll call holes. This is large regions of memory that don't map to anything. So if we think of the page table entries that we would have if we had all the page table entries, they just have a valid bit of zero. So the way we're going to save space for storing page tables is that we're not going to store all of these entries that are just marked as invalid. So we're going to try to at least get rid of most of them somehow. And our solution for this is we're going to have a data structure that's not a flat array. We're going to have something more like a map, where we're going to have a key be the page number, and the value is going to be the page table entry, or if there's no value, it just means it's an invalid page table entry. So how can we represent a map? And from prior courses, you would probably think of two different options. And one option, which is very reasonable, would be a hash table. And this is an option that some hardware has chosen. It's not the one we're going to talk about the most, because most hardware has decided to use a different choice. But a hash table is, in fact, a reasonable solution, and one that you can find machines which have used this solution of having a hash table lookup instead of just an array lookup. What's most used instead is probably the other option you'd come up with looking at what you did in 2150, which is a tree data structure. So we have something, a tree data structure. Now it's a different kind of tree data structure than what you're used to. So it's not like your traditional binary search tree that you may be used to from other courses, but it is a tree. And there's some very good reasons why it doesn't look like kind of the standard search tree you may have been used to from other courses. And this has to do with the lookup of this tree needing to be implemented in hardware efficiently. And there's two things that this makes happen. So one is that because it's in hardware, the lookup should be really simple. We don't want the hardware to be doing complicated operations, and for our purposes, like a less than comparison is actually pretty complicated. We want to have simpler operations. Another thing is that the lookup shouldn't involve too many memory accesses. So we mentioned that already we were concerned about the performance impact of turning one memory access into two, because we'd have to look up a page table entry and then look up the actual thing. If we had like a traditional binary tree, we might imagine turning it into like 16 or 17. That would be really bad. And that would still probably be really bad even with some caches that we will have. So our solution to avoid doing many memory accesses is that our tree is going to be really fat. Every node, rather than having like two children, is going to have lots of children. In fact, usually like hundreds of children. So we don't have to do many memory accesses in this lookup. So let's look at what this would look up, and we're going to look at the sort of simplest version of this tree scheme, which is going to be a tree with two levels. We're going to have a root and a second level, and sort of our leaves are implicitly the actual page table entries. And what we're going to do is we're going to take our addresses and divide up the virtual page number into pieces. And we're going to, from doing that, we're going to have ranges of virtual page numbers. And our first level, the root of our tree, is going to have an entry for each possible range that's going to point to the next level. So we'll have range. In this example, the ranges are 0 through FF, then 100 through 1FF and hex, and so on. So we have an entry at the first level for each of these ranges. And some of the entries point to a node in the next level of our tree. And some of them just have no pointers. And this is how we're representing the really big holes, is that when all of the virtual pages in that range are invalid, we're not going to have a page table entry for 100, 101, 102, 103 to say each of them are invalid. We're not going to have separate page table entries. We're just going to say in our first level, we'll have a null pointer here, effectively, which we'll actually represent as an invalid page table entry, as we'll see in a bit. We'll have one entry at the first level that says, this whole range, there's nothing there. And the format we'll use for this first level is that we'll have the first level, it will be a page table in a very similar format to what we've seen before. But our two big changes are that we'll have physical page numbers that don't represent where data is, they just represent another page table, the next level of our tree. So that's what will be in our page numbers will tell us not where to find the actual program's data, it will tell us where to find more page table entries. And when we index into the first level, we're going to use not the whole virtual page number, but we're going to just use the first part of the virtual page number. So we're going to divide up our virtual page number into pieces. We're going to use the first piece to look up in this first level. And sometimes when we look up in the first level, we're going to find out that the entries mark is invalid. And in that case, we're just going to say stop. There's no virtual page in the entire range in this example here, in the entire range 100 to 1FF, that is valid. So we can just stop the lookup there and ask the OS, what do we do about this program that acts as something that isn't mapped? Now, in the case where, let's say we do look something up. So let's say I'm looking up address virtual page number 301. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, the first part of virtual page number 301 is 3. That tells us we look up in this row of this first level table. So I'm going to look in this row. I'm going to find out it's valid. And I'm going to look, check these other permission bits, assuming they work out. I'm going to look at this physical page, but what I'm going to find there isn't the data the program is trying to access directly yet. I'm going to find out another page table. And this page table is just going to be for that range of addresses, 300 to 3FF. So if I'm looking for 301, I'm going to look at the second entry, not like the 301th entry. So I look at that second entry, and then I do the same procedure I would do if this were a single level table after I got that entry. But now I check the valid bit, I check the permission bits, and assuming they match what I'm looking for, I use that physical page number with the original page offset and access memory at that location. And as far as, wait a moment, how do we deal with this access starting at 300 instead of 00? Well, you know, I'm just changing the lower bits, looking at the lower bits of the virtual page number to figure out what index to go to. So questions about this idea of this kind of very fat tree data structure, and you have the same page table idea, we just have sort of a first level page table that rather than being for each page is for each range of pages, and it points to a second level table that actually has our specific information about each individual page. Questions? So let's go through what this lookup looks like. So we're doing this lookup in hardware. We're going to take our virtual page number. So here I have a virtual address. I've taken off the page offset, which is the green part at the end here. So we have our page offset. And the rest is the virtual page number, which we're going to split up into two parts. In this case, because we have two levels, we can extend this scheme to have more than two levels. Let's just show two levels to start with. And we're going to take the first part, the most significant part, and we're going to use that to do our first array lookup. So I'm doing an array lookup operation here, which I'm representing as multiplying by the array element size, lookup or indexing, and adding the base of the array. And the base of our array is based on this page table base register that the OS will have set up for us earlier. So I get the address of our first level page table entry, which is address in this array that is our first level page table. I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to get a page table entry out. I'm going to check the valid bit and so on, because I want to handle the case where we have this big range of page table entries that doesn't have any valid parts. And assuming I don't have any invalid, it's not invalid, I'm going to take the physical page number there and I'm going to convert it to a base address. So I represent this as multiplying by the page size. This is going to be the same as filling in a zero page offset. This is another way of stating that operation. So we take the page number, we know that's where the page table is. I want to get that as an address for a particular byte. So I'll fill in zeros for the page offset to get the address where the table for the second level begins. And then I do another array lookup operation on the second level. So I'm taking our index, which is the next part of the virtual page number, multiplying by the size of the elements in our array of page table entries, adding that to the base address we found by saying it starts where this physical page starts. And that gives me the address of the second level page table entry. And since we only have two levels, this is the final one. So we don't have any more page table entries to find, so we're going to get a physical page number out, assuming it's valid, and that's going to give us the physical page number for the address the program actually wants to access. We're going to combine that physical page number with the page offset from the original address that just doesn't change, and that's what we're actually going to access on behalf of the program. Questions? Yes? Can I review what causes a fault? So there's a bunch of things which can cause a fault. Fault was just the name for an exception triggered by something the program was trying to do. So like the simplest example is like divide by zero. In this case, these faults are when the program is trying to access memory which doesn't have a mapping, or which does have a mapping, but if the mapping is marked as, say, read only and the program's trying to write, or as kernel mode only and the program's running in user mode, and so on. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Can you quickly re-explain why you're multiplying the page size of the column?
The question is, why are we multiplying by the page size? So if we think of our page table entry here, right, we're going to have a page number, like, let's say it's 123. And that's not the address we want to access. The address we want to access is going to be, you know, the physical page number. It's going to be the physical address, which is composed of a physical page number and a page offset. So we have 123 in the physical page number part, but we have to fill in this page offset part. And one way we can fill in that page offset part is by multiplying by the page size, which is going to be just adding zeros, because the page size is a power of 2, just like multiplying by 100 adds 2 zeros to a number. Multiplying by a power of 2 is going to add zeros in binary. But in hardware, probably we would implement that with a general multiplying circuit. We just have a bunch of zeros shifted in, basically. Other questions? Yes?
Can you re-explain what a page is?
Can I re-explain what a page is? So, we have, our program has its total memory, right? So in the case of, you know, so like there's 2 to the 32 addresses you can have. And rather than trying to specify each of those addresses could be something different, could like map to a different physical address, we divide up those addresses into fixed size chunks we call pages. And we do the same thing for the physical addresses they could map to. And our mapping consists of saying, this page of the addresses the program knows about map to this page of the addresses the actual hardware knows about. So the pages are just big chunks of addresses, so we don't have to deal with like individual bytes when we're determining our mapping. Does that answer your question? Yes. The question is, if this was 3-level instead of 2-level, would we split the page number into 3 chunks instead of 2? Yes. And we'd have 2 steps that kind of looked similar to this, and except instead of taking the physical page number and putting it in the final address in the middle step, we would, you know, do another one of these, fill in a bunch of zeros, and use it for the next step, you know, next level. So we'll end up, so basically anything that's not the last level, we're gonna get a physical page number and we're gonna use it as our sort of array-based address for the next level. But for the last level, that physical page number tells us where does the program actually care about. Does that answer your question?
Would the other application chunks, the chunks don't split evenly?
Question, would we ever have a case where the chunks don't split evenly? That occasionally does happen. In which case, the processor needs to decide exactly what they're going to do about how what an even split they're going to use. Most commonly, what you'll see is the processor will make the chunks for the lower levels be the size which makes each page table take up one page of space. Of the each of the second, third, and fourth, and so on level page tables take up a page of space, and the first level will have a smaller chunk. Is typically what processors choose, but they don't have to. Yes?
So is the stack for a given program always, or a given process always stored sequentially in memory?
Question, is the stack for a process always stored sequentially in memory? No. Now each page of the stack will be. But the whole stack, if it's more than the page size, or even if it's not more than the page size, but it doesn't start at like a multiple of the page, could span multiple pages, and those and the values we get out for the two different pages at this step here could be completely different. Does that answer your question? Okay, other questions? Yeah.
What's like the reason for multiplying by the page size if you already have the page number?
Question, what's the reason for multiplying by the page size? So the instruction cache, or the data cache, expects a physical address, which is going to have a page number and a page offset. So we need to do something to add a page offset at back to that address before we send it to the cache to look up the next level. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yeah.
So what's the trade-off between adding more levels to the page table lookup?
So question is, like, how do we do, like, how does the processor designer decide how many levels to have in the page table lookup? Typically that decision is seems to be in practice based on trying to make the page tables at each level take up one page. And the reason for that is that if you're writing an operating system, it's very convenient if whenever you need to allocate memory to give a program more memory or give yourself more memory, if you only allocate a page at a time and not some other size. And you're going to be allocating a page at a time for programs because the way you give a program more memory is you fill in another page table entry. So that's typically how they would make that choice. And there's a separate trade-off for the page size, whereas if you have bigger pages, then you have smaller page tables, and you get more efficiency out of caches of your page table entries, but the OS has less flexibility for laying out the program's memory. It's going to waste more space because, you know, if you have 8 kilobyte pages, that's the smallest amount of space you can allocate for the stack, for example. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay. So this is sort of going through the mechanics of the lookup, sort of a more abstract view that might be helpful is that we can kind of think of each level of the lookup as kind of an array lookup. That at the first level, we take the page table base register set by the OS and the first part of the VPN. The page table base registers the base of the array. The first part of the VPN is an array index of a kind. And that gives us the base address of the second level. And we saw in the detailed version we had to like convert from page number to physical address here. This is getting kind of glossed over in this more abstract version. But we get a base address and we use the second part of the virtual page number as an index into the array we look up there. And then finally, we get an array of bytes, not of page table entries, and we use the page offset to index into that array of bytes. So we can kind of think of the multi-level page table lookup as just sort of a sequence of array lookups that we do to actually access the data the program cares about. Questions? Yes. So, as I mentioned, this can be generalized to more than two levels. Sort of general pattern is we split the virtual page number into pieces for each level. Top levels, we find something that points to the next page table. At the bottom level, there's no more next page table, so we actually find the real data. And at each level, we have to check the valid bit, and also we also check all the permission bits. So we're like, you know, you can mark something as not writable at any of the page tables along the way, and the processor's going to, you know, stop doing anything if it's not writable. And we're trying to do a write, for example. Okay, questions? And as a concrete example, on my desktop with a 48-bit virtual address, what they've chosen to do is, well, we have our 4 kilobyte pages, so we have the bottom 12 bits is our page offset, and then they've divided up the virtual page number into 4 9-bit pieces. And it happens that with the sizes they've chosen, they have 2 to the 9 entries in every page table times 8 bytes equals 2 to the 12 bytes per page table. So every page table takes up exactly one page, and that's a deliberate design decision that they made when choosing this scheme. Questions about how x86, 64 typically splits up our addresses? Okay, and a little note on terminology. So our textbook, when it describes multi-level page tables, it has diagrams where they label the parts of the virtual page number, VPN1, VPN2, and so on. And a lot of students like telling me, oh, the first VPN and the second VPN. That's not the correct term here. So when we have a virtual address, there is one virtual page number, which is the whole thing that's not the page offset. And we can divide it up into parts, but each part is not a VPN, it's a part of the VPN. Or we could like say the first level index or something like that. So now that we know about how level locals work, let's do exercise with an multi-level local. So here I have a 9-bit virtual address, and I have 8 byte pages, so 2 to the 3 byte pages, and 1 byte page table entries. And our page tables are one page. That's the same as them being 8 bytes, which is, and if we divide by 1 byte page table entries, we find out that there are going to be, or we take the, well, I guess I should say 8 bytes, and this it happens to fit 8 page table entries. This would be different if our page table entries were more than 1 byte, because we're dealing with stuff that fits on a slide. They're only 1 byte. On a typical real machine, they're going to be more than a byte because page numbers are too big. So if we have 8 page table entries, that means we have 2 to the 3 page table entries, which means that our VPN parts are 3 bits. So our 9-bit virtual addresses are going to be split up into a 3-bit page offset, a 3-bit VPN part 1, 2, rather, I should do this in the right order. So 3-bit part 2 of the VPN and a 3-bit part 1 of the VPN. So given that, we should start working on drag this page table up here. Yes?
So how do you know that both of those parts are pre-bits?
How do I know that both of those parts are pre-bits? The question tells me that the page tables are all the same size. And since they're all the same size, that means that they have to have the same number of indices for each one. So they have, so the parts of the page table, parts of the virtual page number need to be the same size. Does that answer your question? Yeah, so if the question told me something like, oh, the first level page tables are 4 entries and the second levels are 16, then it would be different. Okay, who would like some more time? Okay, so our first step here that I would do is dividing up this address. So I wrote up the address. I know it's a 9-bit address because the question tells me that. So that's why, even though I have 3 hex digits here, I write it out as 9 binary bits. And our first part of the VPN is 100, second part is 110, and our page offset is 001. Now we're not going to use the page offset to the last step. We're basically going to use the parts of this address from most significant to least significant. So our most significant part is 100 here. And I'm going to use that to look up in our first level page table. And since our page tables are 8 bytes, and our page table base register is 20, starting at 20 and advancing for 8 bytes, this is our first level page table, is these bytes. And since each page table entry is 1 byte, I can use that to compute the address of our page table entry for this example. So we have our VPN part 1 here, which is 110, that's also known as 4. This is VPN part 1. And I'm combining that with our page table entry size to know how many bytes into the array is it. And our page table entry size in this case happens to be 1. So I go advance 1 byte into the array for each index. I'm going to index 4, so it gets to address 24. So we have address 24, and that's the same as this D4 here. Another way I could have figured it out is since each entry is 1 byte, this 1 byte here is index 0, then 1, 2, 3, and 4. So D4 is the value of my page table entry as an integer, but I need to decode it from an integer to the fields we expect in a page table entry. And I have my information in the question about how to decode it. So I find out that it's 110 is its physical page number, the valid bit is 1, and then I have some unused bits. So my physical page number is 110. So that's what I'm going to use to find my next level page table. So 110, you might also know as 6. So this is physical page number 6. So one way we could figure out where this is we could say our pages are 8 bytes. So page 0 is these 8 bytes. Page 1 is the next 8 bytes. Page 2, then 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I find out that this page table starts at address 30. Another way I can find that out is I can say, if I want to make a physical address, I'm going to have a physical page number and a page offset. The page offset where the page begins is zeros, so I can fill in a bunch of zeros and copy the page number, and that's the beginning of the page, and I get the same address, 0x30. So then I combine that with our next part of our, I'll just do, so this is here, taking our physical page number to find out where does the page table start. So our page table starts at address 30. So this is our page table. And we add to that the next part of our virtual address times the size of our page table entry. So this is another array lookup operation. I'm looking up index 6 in this case in our page table, and I get address 0x36 as the address where index 6 is. And that is this value db. Some questions? That's on that second level lookup. So first I need to figure out where the page table was. I used the page number I found to look up that second level page table, and I said, okay, well, it must start at address 110 and then a bunch of zeros. And I then used that as the beginning of an array, and I said, okay, I need to go to index 6 in this array. So in this case, I said, add 6 bytes times the size of each entry, which is 1, so add 6. Or another way I could do that is I could say, this is the first index 0 in the page table, index 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I got this entry with value OXDB. I decode that page table entry, and I get the same physical page number as it happens. And I combine that with my original page offset. So I have my page offset of 001. I combine that to get my final lookup. Questions? Yes. So the question is, when I decided to add 3 zeros here, does that depend on the number of levels? No. The reason I'm adding those zeros is because I have a page number and I want a physical address. And I'll do, if we remember our physical addresses, we can split up into a page offset and a physical page number. And I was only given the physical page number part. So I need to fill in the page offset part, and I did that with zeros. And in our previous diagram, this operation is what was being done here. That we just needed, we had a page number, we wanted an address that's not, we wanted the full address, which has more than a page number, so we had to fill in the rest. So we did it by adding the zeros. One way we could add zeros is multiplying by an appropriate big number. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay, so in these slides I have some more lookup examples. I'm gonna do one last topic on paging to like kind of give some context for why page tables exist and some other things operating systems do with them very briefly. So one thing you might know from our memory layout is and how it looks like page tables work is that it looks like basically the program decides, sorry, the operating system decides what a program's memory should look like. It makes a page table for that, and then the program just runs, and we only have problems. We only have the OS getting involved again, even, if the program accesses memory it's not supposed to. But this seems kind of unfortunate if we think about, for example, stacks. So most programs aren't going to use much stack space. But occasionally, you're going to write some program with like a big recursive function, and you might want to use like megabytes of stack space. And it seems like, to support this, what the OS needs to do is that it needs to allocate megabytes of stack space just in case, even though typically your program's only going to use a small portion of it. So we might have a whole bunch of pages the OS set up in the page table for the stack, but you're only actually going to use like the 3 of them because you don't have a big recursive function in your program. And that sure seems like a shame. But in fact, there's a solution that virtual memory enables that allows the OS to not have all this wasted space. And the idea here is that rather than allocating all of this in advance, The OS can tell the processor that only some of the stack space is allocated. And then just let the program run. You might say, but isn't the program going to like segfault, right? Because we didn't allocate that space. Well, the program is going to try to use that space. So let's say we get to the end of the stack and we run a push instruction. And our stack pointer, in this case, I've highlighted the virtual page number part of it. So in our page tables, that, let's say, is valid right now, but if we push, we're going to go to the previous page, which is invalid. So this push instruction is not going to work. And it's going to trigger an exception. And like usually we think of that exception as, oh, that's like when you access out of bounds of an array, it's going to crash. But it doesn't have to, because all the exception does is it runs the OS. So the OS, when this exception happens, the OS can look up what the program was trying to do and say, oh, the program didn't like try to access something out of bounds. The program was just trying to access stack space, I promised it, but didn't actually set up yet. So rather than crashing the program, what the OS will do is it will figure out, okay, you were accessing this extra stack space I promised you, but didn't set up. Let's set that up right now. And then we'll rerun that instruction that failed. And this idea that we can not set up your page table in advance and just wait for you to try to use something that's invalid and then fix it later, this is used by pretty much every operating system you've used. And sort of a big reason to do this is that, you know, this means that when we like start a program, basically, we don't have to like load everything before we start the program. We can just set up some page table, and later on, we can worry about loading the things that aren't loaded yet. But we can start the program right away with whatever we have in memory right now. And later on, when the program tries to access stuff we haven't loaded yet, then we can fill that in. But we can, you don't have to wait for everything to be loaded to actually run the program. So because this is so much more efficient, pretty much every OS kind of uses this type of strategy in some way, like various amounts, but uses this strategy of not setting up all of your program's memory in advance, but waiting until your program tries to access things before setting parts of it up. Now, it might seem to you that this is like a happy coincidence that page tables enable this kind of operating system strategy of that, you know, we just got lucky that we can have great operating systems in this way where we kind of load these things as the program needs them. But in fact, the history of virtual memory is that the original motivation for the virtual memory design was to support precisely this. And it was to support this idea called swapping, that we'd run programs that would use so much memory, we couldn't possibly fit that in memory, and we'd store the stuff in infinite memory on something like hard drives. And the operating system would manage moving things from those hard drives back into memory and vice versa by manipulating page tables and waiting for the processor to say, hey, the program accessed an invalid page table entry. So this idea called swapping, this was the original motivation for page tables and something you'll see, for example, in our textbook when they describe how virtual memory works. They go back to this motivation. I don't teach page tables quite this way because it turns out that doing this all the, like moving things from disk to memory all the time is really slow in modern systems, even though back in the 60s, 70s, it wasn't. So it's not like the primary thing page tables are useful for these days. So I think that's everything I have to say about virtual memory. So logistically, next time is exam review. I will answer your questions about whatever you want to ask me about in the course. If there's no questions or something, I'm not going to talk about it. Also, I'm out of time, but I'll be down here for questions.